Welcome to Pediatric Insight, where we have candid conversations with members of the Child Health Advisory Council and some of the nation's top academic child health leaders. I am Wesley Milliken, CEO of Career Physician, and your host. Each conversation addresses a leadership challenge or opportunity that's top of mind for today's pediatric leaders. The council breaks it down based on the wisdom and experience obtained throughout their distinguished careers. And now, I'm honored to turn it over to the moderator in today's conversation.
Thank you for joining us for the latest Pediatric Insight. My name is Christine Gleason, and today's topic is a candidate-centric search process focused on social events for a campus visit. So we're talking about meals, mostly dinners, receptions, things of that nature. What are best practices? In preparation for moderating this, I looked into what's out there in both corporate, academia, medicine, virtually nothing. And yet it's a part of everybody's experience with recruitment and with being recruited, that there is somewhat a feeling of obligatory social events, and yet they serve very useful purposes. And that's the topic of the conversation. And I think we'll start out with a purpose of these events for the institution or for search stakeholders, the search committee, and so forth. So Arnie, do you want to take it away?
Thank you, Chris. I think the major goal of the social event is to see the candidate in that social setting, a group setting, and to observe how they interact with people, because leadership positions, that is a key skill that's difficult to assess from a CV, for example. So it's observing and seeing how the candidate interacts with people. In my experience, which is recruiting probably 70 division directors over the last 15 years, this is a key time to learn how they interact with people. And one of the key points of observation is what the discussion looks like. Is it about the candidate talking all the time, which I would say is generally not a positive, but often happens? Is it about the candidate being able to listen well and respond to the other members of the group at the meal, for example? And I think that can provide insight into how that person will lead in the future. Will they listen and will they interact? That part of the meal, social event, I think is really key. Can the candidate bring people into the discussion? Can the candidate bring out key points? It is a more relaxed session, even if there's not a lot of alcohol involved. How the candidates interact with the environment is really important. That is, whether they drink too much or not. So I think it's about observing the candidate in a different kind of situation than occurs during interviews, even group interviews. And I think it's about making sure that the candidate is careful about how they interact, rather than going out on a limb or rants and which topics they might get into that might make it too controversial for the discussion.
And Bruder, Arnie had 70 at least. You probably had at least that many, if not over 100. So what's your take on it for the stakeholders?
Well, Arnie's much older than I am, so. You know. Just kidding. I certainly agree with Arnie. The social event is to evaluate the candidate in a different setting, but also to give the candidate an opportunity to see a different side of the position, what colleagues might be like who had come there recently or had similar age or similar social situations. It gives the search committee a chance to see the resilience of the candidate. I assume all of us have had to interview at least for one or two jobs, and it's exhausting. And so you see how resilient they are and how they can conduct themselves after a long, difficult day. It also is an opportunity to provide a side to the candidate of what life might be like in the event that person would come to the institution. But it is an evaluation. I had one example of someone who we were dealing with increasing emphasis on quality and safety, and this candidate kind of poo-pooed that. And I realized right away that that candidate was not going to fit into the environment that would help us lead toward advances in that area. And finally, the social event is not for a group of faculty to go out to eat. It's to pick carefully the people who can provide appropriate input to the candidate and who can give good feedback on how they see the person respects, communicates, listens, engages in a more social situation. So it's an evaluation, but it also is an opportunity to provide a positive setting for future visits or a long time relationship.
No, thanks for that, Bruder. Wesley, did you want to comment on that from the institution's perspective?
Thank you, Chris. You know, one of the things we see is sometimes our clients get too institutionally focused and they forget that the candidate is also evaluating them. And so I think giving some thought to who's going to be at dinner and how they might interact. If you've got two nights with a candidate that's in for a 2-day visit, you might have one night that's for a leadership team to evaluate the working relationship with the candidate, which Bruder and Arnie have commented on. But the second night might be around getting together a group of collaborators around their research or their passions to let them know how you're going to be able to foster their career in that community. And that just makes a profound statement to the candidate. You know, if your CFOs require that all your candidates go to a less than ideal hotel to save money, then you're probably not having dinner there. But one thing just from a dinner perspective is putting candidates that at hotels that have nice restaurants allow you to actually let candidates go to their room, relax, come down for dinner. It saves you needing to transport candidates to and from hotels to dinners. I mean, there's a lot of efficiencies in that as well.
Thanks for that, Wesley. And you're absolutely right. You know, that the candidates are evaluating you and your institution as much as you're evaluating them. And candidates, probably all of us too, remember their campus visits for years to come and sometimes talk about it if things didn't go well, and often if things did go well. From the candidate perspective, Valerie, do you have some thoughts on that? What are best practices, or what's the purpose of it for the candidate goals? We've touched on some of that, but what are your thoughts?
When I prepared for your insight, I sat down and I thought of all of the jobs that I went and looked at, and you know, how did I prepare for them and how did I view the social events? And Wesley's absolutely right. Every time I was evaluating who they had invited to the dinner, how prepared the individuals were to be at dinner with me, how much they knew about the position that I was looking at, how much they knew about the prospectus on the position. I was interested in what they could tell me about the community and, you know, what the culture of the organization was, and if they had any insight into the resources. I do a lot of advising to individuals, and I tell them, you know, when you're a candidate, you know, your job is to get through the first set of interviews so that you'll be a candidate for the second set. So you move down the road. But the same thing is true for an institution. If you are not using these social events to keep these candidates engaged while you determine their qualities and fit for the organization and for the roles and responsibilities of the position, you may very well lose a candidate. And just like Arnie said, you know, you'd never like to see a candidate talk too much. I've been at recruitment dinners where the poor candidate couldn't get a question in because there was one person at the table from the organization that just wanted to tell everyone at the table their life story. And that is an absolute turnoff. So preparing the people who will be at these events is really critical from the standpoint of the candidate, because they are evaluating you at every level that you're evaluating them. And the last thing that I would say is, in my experience, the best way to get information about anyone is to make the social events be a positive, comfortable setting where people can just show you naturally, you know, what their interests are and who they are. And the minute you get away from that or don't take advantage of those events in that way, the candidates lose an opportunity. And quite frankly, you do too. So I've always tried hard with any of the social events that I've arranged to really implore on the individuals just the importance of making these a positive experience, just like every other, hopefully, aspect of the interview days.
Thanks, Valerie. Danielle, do you have something to add about that from the candidate's perspective? What's the goal?
I certainly agree that being in one's professional demeanor, and I actually always say from a candidate's perspective, if I put myself in that role, that not to let your guard down. This is a professional encounter, and that professional demeanor needs to stay intact. And so from a candidate's perspective, how do you balance that? This is a job interview. The dinner is a job interview. How do you balance that with staying calm and being yourself? Because the relationship is bidirectional. It's as much for the candidate to assess whether this is a good next step in their career path as it is for the institution to recruit that individual. Remembering that with some humility perhaps can give you a sense of calm. The other is maybe something that may be surprising. Is it a safe place? When we're making these life decisions about where we're going to be for the next 5 years, 10 years, perhaps 20 years, is it a safe place? There may be comments in the discussion that may actually trigger that it's not a safe place, or that, yes, it's a welcoming place. It's a place that's genuine. One of the things I would, you know, the candidate can do is observe the interactions, not only of what folks say in the content, but how do they relate to each other as human beings? I remember in one interview where I was the candidate, and this was a chair's position, I learned a new scientific principle. I was so excited because there was clearly that sense of sharing of information, sharing of research that was genuine. It wasn't predetermined. It was where the conversation led us. I think knowing that that social event should be like other social events, that yes, it's a positive, but safety in the work environment is critical. And it means that there's a mutual understanding that we are about children, we are about science, we are about advancing our field and learning from each other and collaborating. So
thank you, Danielle. Bob?
One sort of fine detail that I used to struggle with was the size of the group. And my experience was ultimately that more than six people at the dinner tended to make for a very awkward dynamics. Lots of sub-conversations. The candidate might even feel excluded. I think these are best a little more intimate. In my experience,
I totally agree with that. And thinking, as you've all said, who are the invitees? And do you have one person, maybe the chair of the search committee, or maybe somebody in the administrative realm, who attends all these different dinners? And so can be that continuity. A round table is also something that I found very helpful, you know, because, you know, if you've got a rectangular one and you've got the person at one end, who can hear them at the other end and so forth. Craig, you probably topped the list as dean, chair, division chief, and so forth. You've probably gone well over 100 dinners. Do you want to tackle what are you considering maybe some best practices or things that you've gleaned from all your experience?
Yeah, I think there are a couple things that probably aren't absolutes in the sense that you can't do it this way or you can do it that way. But I really like the feeling that you really want it to be a comfortable event for the candidate. It's a two-way street. Not only are you evaluating them, they're evaluating you. One of those things that I think the dinner can really give an opportunity for is for the candidate's partner to take part in the process. And I think it sometimes is very helpful to have a dinner at which the candidate's partner is invited. And it's important to know if the partner is going to be there. So I would say if the candidate's partner is going to be there, it's a good idea to have the partner of the other members of the dinner. Now, if it's going to be 6 or 8 or 10, that sometimes makes it a little bit restrictive, but I actually think that having a dinner with multiple partners is better than having just the candidate, his or her partner, and then the other members of the dinner not having their partners there. I think it's a more socially comfortable setting if partners are present. I think alcohol is one of those things that doesn't have to be black. You know, I've seen it successful both ways. I actually think it's important to see how a candidate performs in all settings, and alcohol is a part of our culture. And it's not a bad thing to see how the candidate approaches that. And we've all had situations in which candidates who we really liked during a dinner portrayed certain things, certain opinions, certain behaviors that made it so that candidate wasn't successfully recruited because you decided that just wasn't what you wanted to bring into your organization. And so I think those are partners and alcohol are two of the things which I think make a lot of make it more easy to make that evaluation. The other thing is it's important, I think, to at least in a final visit, to involve the candidate pretty closely in the planning of that visit. Are there people that the candidate would like to have at the dinner? I know when I was recruited for a chair position, I appreciated being able to say, well, you know, I really enjoyed talking to this person. I think a dinner, you know, would be a nice opportunity to interact with them. And sometimes I think we forget that it is a two-way street and you really want to give the candidate an opportunity to participate in those things. And it really helps them to become invested in the whole process too.
Thanks very much for that, Craig. And you know, we've been talking a lot about dinners, but I know that when I was recruited for various positions and I really wanted to meet with someone in a more informal setting, I could also ask, could I have lunch with that person? Could I, you know, so there can be other settings, other venues that are a little more intimate. Or the same thing with partners. Like you said, you don't want to have a large amount of partners, but if your partner is really uncomfortable in a larger setting, saying, well, could we have lunch with you and your wife? That would be more comfortable for my partner. So there are other ways to put that in place. So Bruce, how about yourself? Any best practices or hints or things that we could apply in our future recruitments or being recruited?
Thanks, Chris. I hope none of us are being recruited right now, but I'd like to follow on to some of the things. Like Wes, we did our best to keep them at the venue. There's liability, potential liability, if you're driving a candidate from place to place. And if you're looking for taxis or Uber, there's also difficulties with that. So if we did do a dinner, we would make sure that it was walking distance and would have somebody walk with a candidate. We weren't permitted to drive them about. But one of the key factors of all of this is communication. I would contact the candidate, or one of my vice chairs would contact the candidate and let them know, these are the people that we're going to be interviewing with. These are some of the folks that you're going to be having dinner with and the reasons why. And I would ask them, do you have any dietary preferences or things that you must avoid, or allergies? But also we would ask them, would you like to have wine at dinner? Specifically, our institution did not pay for alcohol at all. I didn't mention this, but if the candidate didn't want to have wine at dinner, nobody had wine at dinner. And if the candidate did, I would pay for this separately. I also went to very few dinners, and I explained to the candidate that if I attend a dinner, there's going to be focus on me. I'm going to have a lot of opportunity to see you and to talk with you. So it's my practice not to attend the interviewing dinners. However, when they came back with their partners for final interview, my wife and I would go out with them or even have them over to the home and meet just one-on-one with my wife and the candidate and his or her partner, and then talk about other things. I'd also tell the candidate, you're being interviewed even during the dinners. You're going to be looked at. You're also going to be looking at the situation here. Are there things you want to know? We are not permitted to ask you certain questions, as you're well aware. But if you bring something up or you express an interest, we can certainly take it from there. And we've had candidates say, can you tell me about the LGBTQ community, for example? We have a folder on that. I would offer the folder and I'd say, we have a few faculty members who specifically volunteered to discuss that. Would you like to meet with one of them at dinner? Would you like to meet with somebody if they would mention a specific social interest, religious group? We would then find a way to help out with that. And so it's really going to be mostly candidate focused, but in so doing, we're going to be evaluating the candidate and hopefully leaving a very good impression as they evaluate us. And I couldn't agree more. 5 is an ideal number. 6 starts to get big. It is nice to have a bit of continuity between the dinners, even if it's not the chair.
So I just wanted to add to all these great logistics things that you've heard, like number of people, trying to get some information ahead of time. One of the things I think is also best practice is to choose a host for that dinner. If you're doing it, then you're the host. But if it's the search chair of the search committee or someone else is assigned, there's one identified person that's the host of the dinner or the luncheon so that they can gauge the conversation and they can hopefully intervene when you start to get situations where the candidate is talking too much or someone on your team is talking too much. The other thing is part of the logistics is please figure out ahead of time who is paying for dinner, or better yet, have the dinner prepaid with an account. There is nothing more embarrassing when you've got a candidate, and I've been in this situation where there's an argument at the table. Well, I'm not sure I'm supposed to pay. Well, I don't have a card. I don't have a this. It just is really unnerving for pretty much everybody. So I think thinking about all of the things that I put into the logistics of the dinner are really important preparation for making sure that it'll be successful, but get a host and pay the bill.
I just wanted to comment on something Bruce said, which is having the social event at his home. I think that's a fantastic way to allow a larger event, but with, because of a cocktail time or more conversation with more people, and it sends a message. And the message, I think, no matter what, where the social event is, the message has to be, we want you. We are interviewing you because we think you're an excellent candidate for this. And by having an event at home, you tell the candidate, you are important to me.
I really want to agree with the comments that Bruce made so eloquently in terms of gaining comfort and also not only respect for who the individual is and asking their participation and asking in terms of who they would like to have invited. And he mentioned being quite sensitive to biases that may occur. You know, he mentioned the LGBT comment. And I think that's so important in creating a safe place. And I mentioned that. The other is, we didn't mention this. We said the maximum number of people. I think a meeting with only one person is probably not well advised in terms of comfort, in terms of where the place is. And so just being sensitive to making sure that everyone is at ease and that, yes, we're evaluating each other, but in an environment of respect, professional demeanor, and that provides the best opportunity to recruit an excellent candidate. And I can't say it better, so I'm going to say it again, the message that we want you. If that's the message. If that isn't the message, to remain respectful and then to follow up quickly, which we've addressed in other talks of giving follow-up if somebody is not selected, to make sure that there is closing of that circle.
There have been so many excellent points made by everybody with this vast amount of experience that we all have, because we all agreed at the outset how important this was for the candidate and for the institution. And if it's that important, and if it's done in every single search, and it's exhausting for everybody that's involved, I think we would all admit, while we want to make it relaxing and so forth, especially for the candidate, full day of interview, cross-country travel, go out to dinner, try to be charming and do all of that, it's exhausting. So thank you all, and thank you for listening, those of you who stuck it out to the very end. And if you want to see more Pediatric Insights, go on the Career Physician website, and there's great insights.